Good morning, and welcome to Overeaters Anonymous, a Vision for You Big Book study. My name is Kathleen O, and I am a recovered compulsive overeater. Today is Wednesday, March 24th, and this is the 10 a.m. Eastern Time meeting. Today we are reading from the Big Book, and we're on page 46, the first paragraph that begins with, "Yes, we of agnostic." We'll be reading and commenting on this one paragraph only. Today's readers are Dory P., who will be reading the 12 steps, Judy S. will be reading the 12 traditions, and the readers of our text are Deb E., Dion R., and Wendy P.B. The share ID for Tuesday, March 23rd, the 10 a.m. Eastern Time meeting, is 16,631. That's 16631. And this morning's Wednesday, March 24th, 7 a.m. Eastern Time meeting share ID is 16,635. 16635. Our newcomer greeter for today is Kaylee R., and Betsy H. will be making the announcements. The OA preamble. Sorry. I apologize. Overeaters Anonymous is a fellowship of individuals who, through shared experience, strength, and hope, are recovering from compulsive overeating. We welcome everyone who wants to stop eating compulsively. There are no dues or fees for members. We are self-supporting through our own contributions, neither soliciting nor accepting outside donations. OA is not affiliated with any public or private organization, political movement, ideology, or religious doctrine. We take no position on outside issues. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive eating and compulsive food behaviors, and to carry the message of recovery through the 12 steps of OA to those who still suffer. Our sole purpose, OA's fifth tradition states, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. At a Vision for You Big Book study, our message is that people who suffer from compulsive overeating can recover through abstinence and the practice of the 12 steps and 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. And I'll now ask Dory P. to read the 12 steps, please.
Good morning. Dory P., grateful compulsive overeater in Atlanta. 1, we admitted we were powerless over food, that our lives had become unmanageable. 2, came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. 3, made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood Him. 4, made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. 5, admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. 6, were entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. 7, humbly asked Him to remove our shortcomings. 8, made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. 9, made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. 10, continued to take personal inventory, and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. 11, sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood Him, praying only for knowledge of His will for us and the power to carry that out. 12, having had a spiritual awakening as the results of these steps, we tried to carry this message to compulsive overeaters and to practice these principles in all our affairs. And I pass.
Thank you, Dory P. And Judy S., if you'd read the 12 traditions for us this morning.
Good morning. I am Judy S. from Wisconsin, and these are the 12 traditions. 1, our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends upon OA unity. 2, for our group purpose, there is but one ultimate authority, a loving God, as He may express Himself in our group conscience. Our leaders are but trusted servants. They do not govern. 3, the only requirement for OA membership is a desire to stop eating compulsively. 4, each group should be autonomous, accepting matters affecting other groups or OA as a whole. 5, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. 6, an OA group ought never endorse, finance, or lend the OA name to any related facility or outside enterprise. Less problems of money, property, and prestige divert us from our primary purpose. 7. Every OA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. 8. Overeaters Anonymous should remain forever non-professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. 9. OA as such ought never be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible to those they serve. 10. Overeaters Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues, hence the OA name ought never be drawn into public controversy. 11. Our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, films, television, and other public media of communication. And 12, anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all these traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personalities. Thank you, and I pass.
Thank you, Judy S. How our meeting works. Our meeting focuses on the directions for recovery described in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We read a paragraph or two from the literature, then stop and share on what was read. Anyone can share, but we ask that you keep your sharing to the topic and literature we are discussing, and that you keep your share to approximately 3 minutes. Singleness of purpose reminds us to identify as compulsive overeaters only. Our abstinence requirement for moderators is 1 year, and for readers is 6 months. There is no abstinence requirement for sharing on topic. This meeting does request that your sharing be directly linked to what was read. We are sharing what the directions in the Big Book mean to us. To share, press star 1 to unmute. And once you are done sharing, let us know by saying pass, then press star 1 to mute your phone. In order to have a quiet meeting, everyone's phone except the speaker should be muted. And today we resume our study of the Big Book. We're on page 46, the first paragraph that begins with, yes, we of agnostic. And Deb E., if you could get us started on that paragraph this morning. Good morning.
Good morning. This is Deb E., recovered compulsive overeater in Israel. Yes, we of agnostic temperament have had these thoughts and experiences. Let us make haste to reassure you. We found that as soon as we were able to lay aside prejudice and express even a willingness to believe in a power greater than ourselves, we commenced to get results, even though it was impossible for any of us to fully define or comprehend that power, which is God. So my first thought was, you know, what am I going to share on this paragraph? My experience is not having been agnostic or atheist. But when I really start to think about it and break it down, and the way I obsessed constantly over food and my body, I really was making those higher powers. And I looked up agnostic and temperament, and I found it really interesting. So temperament is mode of emotional response. An agnostic is a person who claims neither faith nor disbelief in God. So I found it really interesting that the word emotional response, the words emotional response were in there because it's, you know, we always talk about it all about our emotions. Everything I ate over was over any kind of emotion or feeling. And I didn't believe in the beginning that my higher power could help me with my food addiction and my body obsession and all that stuff. I didn't really believe that. I had to come to believe that through working the steps. And so it was interesting in kind of taking apart this paragraph, I realized, you know, maybe at some point I was more agnostic than I realized. And then in the last line, fully define or comprehend, just this morning, for me it's the afternoon already, my 10-year-old son, like, started asking me questions about God, and it was really interesting to have this conversation. You know, I told him that, and so much of my definition comes from my work in the working 12 steps. And so it was really interesting to be able to just have a conversation with him. It wasn't about me, like, preaching something to him or telling him the way it is. It was very humbling, and I've learned to be humble through working the steps. going like, well, I don't have the answer to that. I don't know. What do you think about that? And having more of a conversation, whereas I grew up in a world where adults were on this much higher level than children, and you couldn't have conversations like that, or at least in my mind, I didn't think I could. And so that was another nice reminder of one of the gifts of this program, to be able to be humble and that it's okay for me to say, I don't know. Especially in a position as a parent where I grew up thinking like, I have to know all the answers. I have to know. And then, you know, let us make haste to reassure you. It's like, even if you think you're, you know, even if you're agnostic, even if you're atheist, this program still works. It's like this constant reminder that like, come up with any idea you want that it's not going to work for you, and we'll show you an example of how it worked in those cases. You know, I feel like it's just another reminder that OA is for everyone. You know, everyone who identifies as a compulsive overeater, there is a solution, except for those, you know, little few cases that they talk about in the book. So for the most part, there is a solution here for everyone. And thank you. With that, I pass.
And thank you, Debbie, for getting us started this morning. Okay, so although we value your experience, we do ask that you limit your share to every third day in order that others might share their experience too. So who else would like to share on this first paragraph on page 46 this morning? Roz G.
Kate L.
Roz G. Kate L.
Denise B.
Denise B.
Dion R.
Alice A.
Who came after Dion R? Who had an A?
Alice A.
Alice A. And I can take one more. Okay, we'll stop there then. Roz G, Kate L, Denise B, Dion R, and Alice A. Go ahead, please, Roz. Good morning.
Hi, my name is Roz G, and I'm a recovered compulsive overeater in Palmdale, California. Thank you for the lead share. I also have heard from other big book teachers, one in particular, that agnostic is like, you know, he broke the word down, A without, and gnosis, without knowledge. Because, you know, in my earlier days before program and I heard the word agnostic, I thought it would have a negative connotation, meaning that this person doesn't believe that there's a God, and that I was brought up in, you know, as a Catholic, believing that there's God. And if you don't believe, well, then you're in trouble. You know, you're bad. But after I've been in program and I have listened and been around people of all faiths and beliefs, I have come to love people, whether, you know, they believe or not, and to have a tolerance and a love for everyone. And now myself, I admit that I am an agnostic in many areas. Now, I do believe in the God of Scripture, that is my higher power. But I've got to tell you, over the years, there were many times where I doubted God. I doubted God's power. And so I was the one who's like, you know, I ran the show. God had no relevance in my life. I said that there was God, and I purported to believe in it, but I didn't do it. Like they say, this program is for people who do it. And so now every morning in my prayer and meditation time, the God of my understanding has revealed to me that I have been a doubter, and that God wants me to believe and to trust. And so I take actions in trusting and believing by praying, by listening, and by doing what I believe I am directed to do. And sometimes I'll get doubtful, and I will admit it and say, God, I'm agnostic in this area. Please show me your will. Show me your will for me and what you want me to do and be in this situation. And every time, God shows me. So now I don't have a negative feeling towards agnostic. I think it is humility by saying, you know, sometimes I doubt, sometimes I don't know, and I ask the God of my understanding to will, to reveal and show me his will for my life. And thank you. With that, I pass.
Thank you, Roz G. Kate L., you are up, followed by Denise B. Good morning, Kate.
Good morning, everyone. My name is Kate L. from Florida, and this is my first share. I think basically all of us who are here, based on this passage, we have given food power over us in some way, whether we knew it or not. We've given, food has power over us. But if we can reach out beyond the food power and think that there is something else, something greater than ourselves, as stated in the book, then this we'll get some sort of result. It doesn't matter whether we believe in God or a higher power or anything else. You know, if we can just believe in something greater than ourselves, something greater than the food, we will get the benefits of this program. Every time I binged, I prayed because I am a believer, but I still didn't find relief. As a result, maybe in some areas, you know, I might have been agnostic. And I believe every single person can benefit from these steps. And with that, I pass.
Thank you, Kate L. And Denise B., good morning. You're up, followed by Dion R.
Good morning. Hi, everyone. This is Denise B. Thank you so much. Denise B. from New York City. Thank you. So I was an atheist. I don't know. I don't believe I am anymore. But what I love about this chapter is that I feel like if we didn't have this chapter, it really would have excluded so many people. Funny enough, I've been in this program for 2 years in May, and I think every single sponsee I've ever helped has had some kind of, you know, spirituality to go to. They already, you know, believed in God. And so I find that more people do than not, or at least that's been my experience in this program. But what this paragraph says is that we just need a willingness. And so when I came in, you know, the food had beaten me down to the fact that I was like, I will believe in anything. And I remember I kept saying to my sponsor, like, are you sure this is going to work for me? Like, I have no belief. I definitely was the person who bristled and at the idea of God or religion, for sure. I didn't like religion. And, you know, I thought God was like a fantasy that people had created to make themselves feel better. But I was willing to go along with whatever my sponsor told me to do. And she just said, just stay open. And that's what this paragraph says, right? We just need a willingness to believe in something. That's what my sponsor kept saying, something greater than ourselves. And then you'll see what happens. And suddenly my thoughts started changing and I knew they weren't my thoughts. They were not Denise's thoughts. I never had that thought before. Where is that thought coming from? So I think it's super cool to be in this program and to, you know, be recovered and to have gone through the steps. And all of a sudden, like, I have this whole new aspect to my life that I never had before, which is spirituality, which is having something greater than myself to go to, not just for the food, right? It helped me with my biggest problem, but now life, how to deal with people, how to deal with life, how to stop being stuck. I mean, I just couldn't be more grateful than I guess to have had this problem, because I don't think anything but a huge problem like addiction would have brought me into a 12-step program, would have made me willing to believe that there was something greater than myself, which sounds so egotistical, by the way, but would have been willing to believe that that existed and then actually go to that unknown thing that I can't see, ask for help, and then actually get help. So with that, I'll pass. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Denise B. Dion R., you are up, followed by Alice A. Good morning, Dion.
Good morning, Elaine. Kathleen, I'm sorry. This is Dion R. Everyone. How you guys doing? Very grateful, recovered compulsive overeater. And, of course, I can identify what was read and what everyone shared. Just hearing new things today, too, to remind me of my same old disease, you know. And this part of here where it says of the paragraph when it was, you know, describing all the ways people thought and believed and doubt and or was, like they say, anti, you know, just really against it, you know, anti, you know, I was all that, I think, at one period of time in my life until life beat me down. And I said, okay, OA, whatever y'all tell me to do, I will do. But slowly over a period of time, believing in myself and the people I saw in the room, it gave me hope. Someone's unmuted, but it gave me hope, and it also gave me an opportunity to keep an open mind, you know. And I saw people changing before my eyes, not just on the outside, the inside, you know. And I was getting worse in the rooms, you know, gaining more weight than I had when I came in. So just to put all that prejudice of thinking of side, you know, and when it says askance, that's what stands out for me. And when they're describing, it says we all have that temperament in this paragraph, but they're talking about all the ways we were before. And before I had disaster, I thought, like, how can somebody be so religious when there's so much skepticism and calamity with religion and people? And you tell me one thing, you're doing nothing. So I was like, I don't really know about this God thing. So, but anyway, after being beaten to submission, and I couldn't put the food down, I couldn't stop doing whatever on myself, you know, when I couldn't breathe, you know, anything, when I couldn't be happy in the most happiest circumstances, I knew I had to surrender. And I'm glad I did, but someone just said, and I love it too, that we were all at one time, and it's not a bad thing to admit. Yeah, even the most religious or most believer in the room had doubts, whether we believed it or not. And the ones who didn't have doubts, I believed it was something. I'm just glad today I know it's not me, and I do have a God, higher power. I do have a loving God, and he loves me in spite of me, and he helps me get through these steps. He helps me show up to be here for you all, too, and learn some more. And with that, I'll pass. Thanks for allowing me to share. Have a blessed day.
Thank you, Dion R. Okay, Alice, you are up, but before we take you, I just want to remind everyone we're on page 46, the first paragraph. Yes, we have agnostic, and I'll be taking some more names after Alice A. So go ahead, please, Alice.
Okay, thank you. This is Alice A. in Alabama, recovering compulsive eater. Happy to be on the line. You know, the words lay aside prejudice are mentioned several times in this chapter, as is the word willingness, which we have heard from the very beginning of this book, that's all that's needed to believe. It's just the willingness to believe in a power greater than ourselves. And somebody reminded me this morning, the lay aside prejudice and the willingness is kind of a reference to the set aside prayer, because you know, the set-aside prayer says to set aside everything I think I know about myself, my disease, and you, God. I laid aside the prejudice. I laid aside the willingness. And in a recent special edition on compliance and surrender, the speaker said that compliance was a conscious concept in the mind, and that surrender was an unconscious concept in the heart. When we first start the program, we are compliant. We're just doing what our sponsor says. As we work the steps and start to develop a relationship with a higher power, we unconsciously surrender our will and our lives to this higher power. And with willingness, we work the steps, we hear the recovery in others, and we develop our own relationship with our higher power as we define it. So to begin with, all we have to do is lay aside that prejudice and have a willingness to believe that there is a power. And with that, I pass. Thank you for letting me share.
Thank you, Alice A.
Okay, we're on page 46, the first paragraph. Yes, we have agnostic. And if you haven't shared in the last 3 days, we would love to hear your share. So who would like to share on this paragraph?
Kevin Yu.
Okay, was it Kevin Yu?
Evan Yu.
Oh,
Kathleen W.
Evan. Kathleen W.
Kara C.
Britt V.
Is it Kara? Okay, hold on. Was it Kara C? Sarah?
Kara C.
Sarah C. S-A-R-A-H-C?
Dara with a D.
Dara. D-A-R. Okay. Dara C. And who came after Dara that began with a B? Britt?
Britt V.
Britt V.
Yes.
Okay. Can take a couple more. Okay, we'll stop there then. Evan U, Kathleen
Barb
W, Darius, Britt V, and Barbara W. Okay, go ahead, please, Evan U. Star one to unmute, Evan. Somebody's
I
unmuted.
Am unmuted.
There you are. Okay, go ahead, Evan. Thank you.
All right. Good morning, everybody. Happy to be here with you all. Thank you, Team Wednesday. Appreciate your service. Thank you all for being here to create this space to help me recover. I love the end of this here. This speaks to me, even though it was impossible for any of us to fully define or comprehend that power, which is God. To me, that is so meaningful, especially this time around. The times that I've worked with steps previously, I've created my own conception, had my own understanding. And this time through the steps, for me, it was about surrendering any idea I had about God and fully surrendering to the, to sort of becoming an agnostic, to not knowing, because I go to my mind and I live from my mind so much. And in that mind, I have all these ideas that tell me to do this or that. And my mind very often misdirects me. But this thing that I cannot touch, see, taste, smell, that I cannot comprehend, as a result of these steps, I'm having a deeper experience with, and I find a greater truth than anything that I can know with my mind. And that truth inside me directs me. You know, and it says somewhere else in the book that, you know, in the final analysis, that the great reality can only be found within. I'm not quoting it correctly, but that's the idea, right? And it's like, you know, these steps guarantee me this spiritual experience. And it's really amazing to see what God is doing with my food. In past iterations of my program, I did a lot with my food with God. You know, as my advisor, as my co-pilot, you know, there's that great saying, it's if God's your co-pilot, switch seats. You know, and the level of surrender that I'm having around the food, and I love that somebody mentioned Tebow. I hope that's not crosstalk, but this unconscious surrender, that's the surrender that I really need to have. Because when that lets go, then I can really find this power that can really direct me. And God is shaping and changing my food in a way that I've definitely tried to change and shape my food so many ways, even in healthy ways. And I realize that I have to let go of all of that completely and just listen to this force that is really guiding me every moment, especially around the place where I'm perhaps spiritually weakest, and that's the food. And I'm very grateful for what God is doing in that area of my life. But of course, this is just a template for my whole entire life. There's not a moment that I meet that is stressful, that doesn't really deserve to be brought to God, that I can surrender to and find out how He would have me manage this. So great to be here with you all, and have a wonderful day. Evan from California. Evan, you. Cheers.
Thank you. Thank you, Evan. You. Okay, Kathleen W., good morning. You're up, followed by Dara C.
Good morning, family. This is Kathleen W. from Illinois. I'm a recovered compulsive overeater. This chapter is just absolutely blowing my mind as I listen to each person break open their truth concerning these words and these chapters. I've been in 12-step programs for 27 years, and I've never known the big book as I'm knowing it or learning it these days as I fellowship in this fellowship of Vision for You. It's amazing to me. I didn't know that my food problem was indicative of a spiritual weakness. I didn't know that. Prior to this chapter, I never considered myself of an agnostic temperament. I was a believer. You know, I was a person of faith. People recognized that about me. You have faith where I don't have faith, they'd say. I wish I had faith like you. Well, when it came to this, to the food, my food problem, I was so spiritually weak. I was so ashamed of this weakness because I was, you know, probably proud of my spiritual ability to have faith in other areas. But I'll tell you what, this has brought me to my knees. And now I'm to the point where I thank God for this disease. Before, it was just something I just didn't understand. I was just in the dark about it. I had a problem. I didn't know how to solve it. I had too much pride to admit how deep this problem was. But now, you know, as I listen to each one of the shares, as we study this chapter, I'm becoming right-sized, and thank God for that. And so I do thank God for this disease. Because of this sickness, it has shined a light on my need to seek a deeper and more intimate relationship with God. And I can only do that by just trusting that God is going to continue to guide me into this deeper relationship. It's not something I can really manufacture or make up of my own self or follow some written rules about, getting spiritual. I have no clue except to say, I trust you, God, that you will bring me deeper. I trust that you brought me to this place, and I have this disease that I am completely powerless over. In order for you to show yourself to me in a more deeper way. And that's what has been happening. And I talked about being right-sized. This is, you know, I am becoming right-sized, and what a relief that is to me. And I kind of like being in that place of, well, you know what, God, I don't know what my next step is to be. But I'm just going to trust you, and I like being there. And so with that, I'll pass. Thanks a lot.
Thank you, Kathleen W. from Illinois. And Dara C., good morning. You're up, followed by Britt Z.
Good morning. Can I be heard?
Yes, you can.
Great. Good morning. This is Dara C. From Delaware. I have been listening to Vision meetings for just over a month now, and this is my first time sharing, but this paragraph is just exactly where I am right now in program, and so it's just really reaching me, and I want to thank everybody that's on the line because I get so much out of these meetings, so I want to thank everybody. I am working on step one now and with my sponsor, and we do the set-aside prayer before, you know, each meeting. And coming in, I certainly had a lot of issues with organized religion. I thought maybe there was something, but I didn't know what. I didn't know what to call it. I had no relationship whatsoever. And I didn't know if this program was going to work for me because it's all about spirituality, right? A spiritual program of action. And so, but we do the set aside prayer, and I find myself opening up more and more, staying open and having that willingness. And this paragraph is just exactly where I am. Each day I am starting slowly to see changes and feel things and look at things differently than I did before, and interactions that were, you know, maybe more conflict and things are starting to melt away. And I'm really slowly starting to see that, wow, there is a power greater than me. And I don't know what that is yet. And I don't know what the conception is going to be for me personally. I am just staying open and staying willing and doing whatever my sponsor tells me to do. But I have been experiencing miracles little by little every day. And I'm really, really hopeful for what is coming next. So that's all I wanted to say. And I pass. I hope everyone has a great day.
Thank you, Dara C. from Delaware. Good morning, Britt V. You are up, followed by Barbara W.
Hi, this is Britt V. in New Mexico. I am a recovering compulsive overeater, and I'd like to say hello, visionaries. I'm so grateful for a vision for you. I learn so much, and I really appreciate all of your shares. This is the first time, I think, in looking at this whole chapter, but this reading in particular, that I've ever really come to the realization that the evidence of my agnosticism has been the fact that I am powerless over this disease. I never looked at it that way until listening to some of you, and that means so much to me. Like many of us, I had long believed that I was a believer, but when I look closely at my behavior, there is a level of distrust that I have felt toward God, as I understand God, and that has gotten in the way. I sometimes look at my relationship with my higher powers like there's a conduit between us and my turning to food to cope, and turning to other negative, destructive behaviors to cope, has gotten in the way of my enjoying a free and fruitful relationship with the divine. And there's another place in this chapter that it says it's a lack of power that was our dilemma. And in my case, I wanted to have the power, because when I was a child, I felt powerless, and I used the food to attain power. So thank you all so much. I've learned a great deal today. I'm so grateful to all of you. This is such a wonderful community, and I hope you have a beautiful day. With that, I'll pass.
Thank you, Britt V. from New Mexico. And Barbara W., we're ready for you, but I just want to remind everyone we're on page 46, the first paragraph. Yes, we have agnostic, and I'll be able to take some more names or shares on this paragraph. So go ahead, please. Barbara W.
Good morning. My name is Barbara W., and I live in Washington State, Pacific Time. And the words that jumped out on me, I kept rereading this, it said, fully define or comprehend that power. And having been a teacher in my professional years, define. How many times did I remember writing down definition, and I had to write down the definition, or I would ask a student to write down a definition. And I realized that when I'm dealing with my concept of God or my concept of my higher power, I can't define him or her. I can't define him. Comprehend, I don't think I'll ever totally comprehend the power of my comprehend that power, because it's so vast, it's so unlimited. And I was raised as a child and a what I call a mainline religion. Nothing too heavy duty, but every Sunday I was there. My parents always made sure I was in there. And I know that laid a foundation. I knew that going to church meant it was a safe place, because I could walk around Sunday school and go back to my parents later in the morning and feel totally safe. And in my time with Vision, that safety is transferred into God that I have been just overwhelmed by. I can now lay in bed and wake up with no music, no nothing, and just lay here and comprehend the presence of God in me. And how can I let God work through me to demonstrate that power that comes out of me from God to others? That's, to me, that's step 12. And it has taught me patience and listening to God's timing and just doing what my higher power guides me to do. And I find myself kind, what is it, this phrase, kindness, patience, tolerance, and love are principles that I have just absorbed and so encompassed in my life. And things around me are affecting me more than they ever did before. And with that, I pass. Thank you.
Thank you, Barbara W. from Washington. Okay, who else would like to share on this first paragraph on page 46 who hasn't shared in the last 3 days?
Mo H.
Diane B.
Oh, Diane. Hi, Diane.
Mm-hmm. Hi.
Okay.
Annabelle.
B. And Annabelle. Okay, let's stop there. Was that a B as in boy, Annabelle? Okay, I think so. Okay, I have Mo H, Diane B, and Annabelle. So go ahead, please, Mo. Good morning.
Yeah, good morning, Kathleen. Thanks for your service and everybody on Team Wednesday and this fabulous meeting. That's Mo H, recovered compulsive eater in Walnut Creek, California. So it starts out this paragraph, we needed to ask ourselves but one short, maybe simple question. Do I now believe, or am I willing to believe, that there is a power greater than myself? And my answer to that question early on in the program was, yeah, sure, I believe, you know, I have a God. And, you know, I grew up with that and I continued to carry that on. So I've skipped over step 2 and 3 really quickly. But I eventually learned that that God was not working for me. That was the God of my childhood. You know, the God that I saw with a black book, you know, checking off, you know, whether I was good or bad. And that God was demanding or scary or all that kind of thing. Well, that was not the God I wanted to believe in. I needed a more kind and gentle and compassionate God. And I had a spiritual director once had me write a letter releasing the God of my childhood, thanking that God for working for me then, and then writing another letter that would describe all the characteristics I wanted in a higher power, a God: loving, kind, always there, always present, willing to help. And so today, that whole visual, that whole impact of God on my life has totally changed. It's made a 180-degree change. And I lean on that God, into that God daily throughout everything. And I mean, with the struggles that I'm going through now, you know, with the death of my husband and all the after paperwork and stuff, I constantly am connecting to God. And that's what we want with this step 2, is to have someone always there And then I trust and rely on that God. And I let go and I say, your will, not mine, be done. And then I see what's next. What do I need to do next? So I think that's all I have to say. And with that, I'll pass. Thanks, Kathleen.
Thank you, Mo H. in California. Diane B., good morning. You are up, followed by Annabelle.
This is Diane B. from Anaheim, California, and I'm so grateful for you, Kathleen, and everyone that's helping you today with this meeting. In regards to this paragraph, I always had a belief in God, like many of you, and I still believe in that same God, which is a total blessing to me, but my problem, once again, was me and me not thinking of God when I should be. And now I love the acronym EGO, Edging God Out. And so with program, what I'm trying to do is in the minutest portions of my life and my thought processes, turning to God in those little tiny areas of first seeing where he's helping me. I was able to see that yesterday in little tiny decisions that were made yesterday, and just being able to thank him. Last night when I went to bed. Yesterday, I was fired from a job, a 20-year-old job. And I could see God helping me throughout the day in just little decisions that I made. And last night when I went to bed, I got on my knees and I thanked him for being with me that day. And at the beginning of the day, I asked him to be with me, and he was. And I was calm as a cucumber all day long, even after that. And I know it was his hand in the minutest details of my life. And so the more I turn to him, the more I give him credit and thank him for being with me during the day, the more he shows up. And it's me. It's me. I'm the one that allows it. I'm the one that sees it. I'm the one that needs to thank him for being there. And that's what program has done for me. Somehow I needed the food to get me to the place where I said, I give up. Okay, I have to turn to God. And I am so grateful. I'm so grateful for the food taking me there. It was a kind way that God got me to him. There could have been other addictions that would be much worse than the food that could have taken me to ugly places. And so I'm just grateful for the food. I'm grateful to be here. I'm grateful for vision. And I pass. Thanks.
Thank you, Diane B. from California. And Annabelle B., we have about 2 minutes, so go ahead, please.
Hi, my name is Annabelle. I'm a compulsive overeater. It is Annabelle Z, as in ZB.
Thank you.
And I'm in
Thank
Washington
you.
State. No problem. I haven't shared on the line in several weeks, and I just really enjoyed listening. And something someone said today about just those words, agnostic temperament. I mean, you can read this big book for years, and suddenly something jumps out, and I'm just so moved. That I really never understood that. I've never read this in such a way that it hit me. So somebody said about how temperament is our emotional reactions, and that's exactly what my problem is my without God emotional reactions to other people and to life. And my without God emotional reaction is eat the food, yell at people, blame somebody, gossip about somebody. that is what I do. That's my reaction. My emotional reaction, sorry, is fear. My emotional reaction is selfishness, fear. And then out of those feelings, out of those emotions, I act, you know, and hurt people. And with God, my reaction to life is like completely new. And someone else said it, like all of a sudden I have these like thoughts that are loving, you know, and all of a sudden it's like I've noticed that somebody's hurt my feelings, and my first reaction isn't screw you. My first reaction is, what can I do to make it better? Or did I say something that upset you? I think maybe I'm so sorry if you misunderstood what I said. You know, like to actually care. And that is just such a different reaction to life. And if my temperament, the way I relate to life is what the problem was, and without God is what it was like. And now with God, it's just totally different. So thank you. I'll pass.
Thank you so much, Annabelle Z from Washington, and sorry I had to cut you off a little early there. And thank you everyone who shared this morning. We will now close with a reading from the Big Book on page 164, followed by the Serenity Prayer. So, Dion R., would you please read A Vision for You?
Yes, I sure will. Hi, this is Deanna, grateful, recovered, compulsive overeater. Our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize we know only a little. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. Ask Him in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who is still sick. The answers will come if your own house is in order. But obviously, you cannot transmit something that you haven't got. See to it that your relationship with Him is right, and great events will come to pass for you and for countless others. This is a great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to Him and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past. Give freely of what you find. And join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit. And you will surely meet some of us as you trudge the road of happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you until then.